I'm excited to be here with you this morning and the opportunity to talk with you. I get excited about VBS. I love VBS. It's a wonderful week. I can remember, you know, my mom, she would like, I felt like she mapped out and we'd be like at a different VBS every week or something like that. So by the end, I knew all the songs really well. But I can also remember my childhood pastor. He would come. We'd line up at those doors out there, and he'd come through those doors, and he would always quote Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Folks, are you excited to be in the house this morning? Are you excited to be here in God's house and to praise and worship Him? Because I've been thinking about that Jeremy Camp song. It's a newer one. It's been in my mind all this week. It says, you know, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is still alive in us today. And so I hope you're excited. I hope you're ready just to dive in. We're going to spend 15 minutes just looking in God's Word before we just pray over our workers this morning. And so, working with teenagers, especially now with having three of them living in my house, the way they view relationships is crazy. I really ought to get like a weekly email to tell me who likes who and who's okay with who. And it's just the way they view relationships is crazy. And especially if we get into that whole boyfriend and girlfriend thing. Sometimes I see this with them is that we date, they want to try to like somebody or date somebody more for not the relationship, but more for the benefit status of, hey, it makes me look cooler. Hey, they might buy me something. But I pick on them because I hang out with them. But are we as adults, are we the same way in some of our relationships? Are we more about the benefits than we are the relationship? Do we treat the church even this way? Are we more about what the church can give us than what we can give the church and how we can serve? What's even worse is are we that way with Christ? Are we more about the benefits of Christ than we are the relationship with Him? And so this morning, I just pray that as we dive into the Word, that hopefully you can see just how I feel the writer, Paul, here was writing, and God has shown me this week. But let's pray as we get ready to enter Colossians this morning. Dear and Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to come into your house. God, I ask you just to, God, just to let me just speak of you only. God, if there's a thought or a word, God, that you do not want to be spoken this morning, God, I pray that this moment you erase it from my memory. God, I'm praying for our VBS teachers. God, I'm praying that you have been just working in their lives these past few weeks, preparing them. But God, I'm asking you to do a preparation that only you can do. I'm asking you to go before us and prepare the hearts of all these children in our community. God, I want to lift up Austin as he's just preaching down the road right now. God, I just pray that you be with my brother. God, I pray that you just be with us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. I want to change one little word right there and go with me on it. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All those things you think about when you, if we go to open the Old Testament, all those things we think about God, His grace, His mercy, His love, His patience, His kindness, His discipline, His judgment. Everything, when you think of the Old Testament, when you think about God, Jesus came to be that image. He came to this world to be that image of God the Creator. He came so that you could see all of these things in a man that was God. Because he is the image of the invisible God. The second part of that verse says, the firstborn of all creation. The firstborn of all creation, because he's entitled. He's not in, like you young folks, where you think you're entitled to everything. A fidget spinner because it's new, entitled to get this or get that. I'm here to tell you, young folks, this is true entitlement. You're not entitled to anything, but Christ is. That's what it's saying here. He is entitled. Just like if a king was to have his firstborn son, that firstborn son would get the kingdom. And that is what it's saying here. He's entitled to all creation because he is the image of God the Father. And so he is entitled to all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. For by Jesus all things were created in heaven and earth. For Jesus. I'm here to tell you, I read some things on this passage. The early church would take this passage, and it was a hymn in the very early church. And I got to thinking about maybe getting old Ken up here with his acoustic guitar and just singing these five verses, but y'all would may look at him funny. So all things were created for Jesus. Everything. From the highest mountain to the lowest of the seas. From the most boring school subject to the most fascinating science in the galaxy of all the stars, it was created for Jesus. From the world's greatest leader to the world's worst dictator, it was created for Jesus. It was all created for him. Why was it created for him? To praise him, to give him the glory, that which is his. We already talked about that entitlement because it belongs to him. And everything is to give him glory for what he has done because he came to be the image of the invisible God who came and died for our sins. He is entitled for that because everything was created for him. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and all things hold together. So everything, on Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Ruth. And we just finished chapter 2. And, you know, but at the end of chapter 1, I told him, I said, this is going to seem like the saddest story I could have pulled out to teach you guys. Because here we go. This one, they move off, famine, you know, and like in the first five verses, three people are dead, and crying and weeping. But hey, and I told when we got to the end, I said, but even in our deepest and darkest times, God's still working because He's the one that's holding it all together. He is the one who is His sovereignty is running, just like in the book of Ruth. He in our lives today, when we seem we're at our lowest, Christ is still working, folks. Christ is still there. I think about that. You may have heard that song, "The Hills and Valleys." I'll give praise to the God who set me on the mountain, but I also give him praise when he has me in the valley because he's everything, holding it together. He is in control. 18. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Top. Nothing else to gain. Nothing else to get. Jesus is enough. There's nothing else. We have this theology, it seems today, that I get saved so I can go to heaven. I'm here to tell you that young folks and older folks and everyone sitting in the sound of my voice, that's not why you were saved. You were not saved so you could go see Mama in heaven one day. You were saved for Christ. You were saved so that Jesus would be recognized as the top, that there's nothing better than Him, that He is all sufficient, and there's nothing else to gain. There's nothing. Heaven's just a side note. compared to Christ. And in the church today, we seem that we're more eager to see His hand move than to see His face. We're more eager to see His hand move than to see His face. My prayer is for this church is that we want to see Christ's face. I know I've talked about it before, but it seems, you know, in our culture today, we're all about what can Jesus give me? And I'm here to tell you, it's not about what Jesus can give you, because He already gave you everything. He gave you Himself. But it's not about, hey, if I follow Jesus, can He make me wealthy? If I follow Jesus, can He make me healthy? It's not about any of those things. It's about whether all those things hold together, I'm still going to praise Him for who He is. Because I want to ask you this, what's more important to you, the relationship with Christ or the benefits that you get? And I'm here today, and I know this is going to upset somebody, but I'm here today. I feel like those people who say it's the benefits and, you know, hey, I'm saved so I can go see Mama in heaven one day. I feel like those are the people in Matthew that He's going to get there and He's going to say, I never knew you. You are about my benefits. You are not about knowing me. It would be like keeping a job that you hate because the benefits are good. I'll keep this kind of because the benefits, you know, when I die, I'll get to go to heaven. And, you know, so I'll sacrifice an hour, go Sunday morning to church or whatever. You know, we're about the benefits. Just like if we was at a job that we really hated, but the benefits were good. And so we don't be about the benefits. Be about the relationship. Know that Jesus is enough. Jesus is all you need. He is everything. He must be everything to you. He must be everything to you. For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. On that Easter Sunday morning, man, it just seems like we forget about Easter so easily. We should really, every day of our lives should be a celebration of Easter. But on that Easter Sunday, God showed us how well He was pleased with Jesus when He rose Him from that grave. 20, and through Him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Romans 1, Paul talks about how we've become more about the creation than the Creator. The relationship has to be the strongest thing. The relationship is what will move. Think about it this way. Guys, remember when, you know, back when you first started dating your sweetheart, you couldn't wait to tell everybody. You could not wait. You were, man, check her out. I am dating her. That is my sweetie. That's my sugar pie. All that good stuff, you know. You were excited about the relationship. When we're in the relationship, for the relationship, we're excited to tell people about Jesus. We're excited about it. We're thrilled. So today, church, I want to ask you a simple question. Are you in a relationship with Christ? Or are you just hoping for the benefits? You can see, I'd not even paid attention. I've been up here all week. I had not even paid attention to these posters. And I when he mentioned them, I was like, well, dang, that's good right there. The relationship broke and the relationship begins. The relationship restored. It's all about Christ came. He came to you to help restore the relationship because there was nothing you could do. But yet we forget about it. And we focus on, I feel today, more the benefits than we focus on Jesus. Because He is enough no matter what. I think about Romans 8. Romans 8, Paul wrote in 36, he says, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. So that your name will be the highest name. That no matter, like I talked about, those valleys, when we're sitting in them and we're looking to Christ and we're still praising Him because He's enough. When we've experienced something that it just, you don't think how we can get through it. When Jesus is enough, you can get through it. When Jesus is the ultimate goal, when you're about Him, you can get through it all. So church, let's be about the relationship. Let's be excited to tell about the relationship.